see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him.
Pour out your power and love as we say, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we say, holy, holy,
amen.
Holy,
love
holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 and I want to see.
Amen, and I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, go to Revelation 3:14, where we've been at it, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 5. Just pick up a scripture there. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And just pray one for another. Remember, I know you have, but pray for these that are sick among us and the different ones. Pray. And all of this passed away and all of the things to the comfort of the heart is what we all need anyway and everything. And we just appreciate the Lord being with us. We really enjoyed this past Sunday, had a marvelous time. I hope you enjoyed it.
Amen.
We got to fellowship together for some time together and all to get to eat together. And that made it work out real good. So I hope you enjoyed it. It was a great time. Amen. Just pray that the Lord would always keep us all together as one in the body of Christ, because that's what we are. Amen. Remember Anna and Richard and Abby and Thomas and Lily, they're kind of on the quarantine list or what you call it. And, that's where they're at. But, tomorrow they'll get some tests run to see and everything. So we pray that everything will work out all right and be okay. And I want to thank you too for all the things that you done, everybody working for the part there at the building and all, and had a good time. We had good fellowship and had, the food was good, and we just was able to do, but we appreciate all that you done and all of the gifts and the cards and the different things that, were given unto us. And we just look forward to another year and a time that we can all be together with him, because we don't know what is going to happen in this year, but we look forward. We look forward to a wonderful time. I do. I'm looking forward to a year to where that we can all, you know, fellowship together and be ready to go. Okay. Any other announcements? Let's see. Wade will be ministering this coming Sunday, and then the announcements are made on over until the watch night service. Brother Boulevard will be here ministering for us, and so pray the Lord would bless him and bless all of us, because, you know, I look forward to that. I always look forward to a new year, because it's a wonderful thing to look forward to a new year. So let's just pray, and then we'll get right into our scriptures. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've given us. Thank you for all of these years and times that we've had to fellowship together with our brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And we've been able to associate together and have a good time in you. And we pray that you would just take care of us and guide us as this year ends out. We're looking forward to another year. Not looking forward to time, but looking forward to the basis of what you promised, because the way that we believe and the way we see that the thing is opening now to where that we can follow in the word and be led by your love and see where we're exactly at right now. So that's our opportunity. Our hopes is all rest upon that one thing. Have your way. Just be with each one. Remember the sick ones among us, and remember the one like Sister Rita that lost her husband, and just be with them in the services there tonight and all of the things, the viewings, and just the service tomorrow. We pray that you would just have your way. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us in thy grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, we're reading this because this is the age that we're in. Is this Lady Ocean age? All right. And unto the angel of the church of the Lady Oceans, right. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now remember, we're going, trying to cover the beginning. So that's the message to this age. The beginning of the creation of God. All right. So as we transfer from one to the other, follow that we're all in the basis of a new creation. A new race. If we'll just understand it. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Just pick up one scripture. 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing. Remember over in the book of Revelations, it covers how that all things are made new. Well, then here we read here in Corinthians that all things are made new. So then we should be getting to a place or seeing at least the hour and the day that we're here. Now, I want to refer back just a little bit to the couple of messages back when we preached, you know, and talking about the overcomer and all of the things. And I want you to think about all that we tried to cover. We tried to bring out that, you know, we want to see things in a positive attitude. Positive, right now. You realize where we're at right now? That's what my point was in that whole message, was to get us to see that if we could be back there in Hitler's time, you know, we could say we saw that. We lived in that time, Mussolini's time, the world and all of the things of the things the prophet saw that would take place. You realize that there's people in this building that has lived through that. You know, some younger ones, some older ones, but still living that thing. It's not something that we're looking forward to. We've done seen these things transpire. All right. And the prophet got in there, remember, and he brought it out, and he came down to the number 5 in the vision, and he said, now, 5 of these things has been fulfilled. Well, the 5th one was the car and the situation and all, and you and I have experienced that. We've lived our time, and we've seen the Volkswagen come into view. We've seen the roads made for to be able to drive without a steering wheel or anything. We've seen a lot of those things transpire in our day. Well, we ought to be happy to say we are in the Bible. You remember I kept asking the question through that service, can you put your experience in the Bible? Can you? I mean, can you really just think about it, where you're at? Well, if I could find my name written there. I like the way we were listening the other night to the prophet when he said, when the Bible says whosoever. He said, I'm glad it says that. He said, because if it said William Branham, he said, there's other William Branhams. Well, it said, when it says whosoever, he said, then that's me. Well, all right, then that's the way we should think about our Christian experience as to living things in our lives right now. You say, well, boy, wouldn't it be great to be back there with the apostles and all of the things. Wouldn't it be great to stand in the hour of a lot of that, like the book of Acts and the great things to take in place? Well, why would you want to go back? Why not stand here and believe the same God? Why not believe the same things are taking place? Why not just see those things and see how it's doing? Yeah, but I just don't see. Well, that's what I've emphasized to you through that message. That a lot of you kids, you wouldn't be old enough to know about Hitler, but you've heard about him. You can get videos and documentaries and all kind of things about him that would be just a little prior to your age. But then some of the adults into that age, we'd fit into that bracket to actually maybe lived, some of you, during the times of World War I, World War II. Yeah. And you know, experiencing those things to actually live it. And that's a wonderful opportunity to be able to see that. And he said, I gave you the quotes, is where he said five of the things has transpired. All right, what did he say number six was? He said a woman in the White House. He said maybe the Catholic Church. But said maybe a vice president or president or that. He put them both there in to where we can see that you and I have experienced that. We've come up in an age now where there's a woman in the White House. You don't rejoice to think about that, that the God has told us ahead of time what would transpire? That doesn't thrill you to be able to pick up a newspaper and read tomorrow's news today? You know what I'm talking about? The word that we could see the things that's transpiring is written right in the Word of God. That ought to make our hearts rejoice. To be able to comprehend something before it ever takes place. Right? And to see it. All right? See, I wanted you to see that. I wanted you to tie it together with the things that where we are, because my way of seeing things, I look at things in a positive attitude. Because why look at it in a negative? You know, why look at it at all if you're not going to look at it positive? If you're not going to believe he's Hebrews 13:8, why worry about the rest? To believe and see the very moment that we're living is right in the scriptures being made manifest right now on the earth. And I like what the prophet said about it. He said, and the Lord Jesus said, what did he say? The last 7 hours. I believe that's right now. But anyhow, it's the last few hours before there in Calvary taking place. He said that fulfilled the biggest portion of the scriptures. Was right there. And he went back and quoting the Old Testament scriptures. They pierced my hands, my feet. They done this, that, and the other. And see, he could rejoice to see that. He could comprehend that those things had taken place. Well, can you do that? That's why I kept asking the question. Do you believe Hitler was here? Do you believe Mussolini happened? Do you believe the car came? Do you believe the things are taking place? Do you believe that there's a woman in the White House? A vice president, our president? Now, you say, well, that was the Catholic Church. Now, I ask you a question about it, and then I'll get away from it. You say, oh, that's the Catholic Church. Well, it was a time you used to be looking for a woman. I'm too old for you to play with me about it. I remember talking with you about it and us discussing it and talking about a woman in the White House. We wasn't interested in the Catholic form of in the White House. We was interested in the woman in the White House. All right. But see, now you have the woman and the Catholics in the White House. Now you have them both. You have everything. There's no reason for us to doubt anything that was said by the prophet, because it's transferred right before us. But what I'm saying is, we was looking at it like a woman and not looking at the Catholic. Right? Coming down, people would do it. See, I live through this. I hope you think about the days you live through it and what you've been through. That people didn't talk about the Catholics in the White House. They talked about the woman coming in the White House. Well, now she's there. But you see, God does it in so a marvelous way till he put them both right in together, the woman and the Catholics. That don't thrill you? That don't give you an understanding that God thought enough of you to tell you about these things and what was going to take place before they ever took place? That he sent a man with, thus saith the Lord, to tell us all of these things. That don't make you feel good. What makes me feel good is my father thought enough of me to tell me these things. You don't think that way? You don't think that your father, Almighty God, made a way in this last days for us to be able to see these things and see them right in front of us, just walk right up to the White House and say, there it is. See? So what are we going to do now? Well, as I said, we were looking for the woman in the White House. Now the woman's in the White House. What are we going to do now? But that's not the woman in the... This is not the woman. It's the Catholic Church in the White House. See, you're turning it right back around. You're doing what I said the joke was made when it started out about the woman in the White House and how that... I won't call her name because there's no need of calling names, but... She was running for president, but she wasn't too pretty. And everybody started a big laughing, joking way of things, talking about, well, that can't be the one he's talking about, because he said a beautiful woman. Said, that woman ain't beautiful. A joke. Has this gospel become a joke? Or are you looking at it as present, positive, perfect tense. To see it right among you. Oh, if I'd have just been back there. Come on, brother. Now, according to the prophet, if we say if we'd have just been back there, he said, whatever you're doing now is what you'd have done then. Is that right now? Whatever we're doing, we would have done then. All right, let's get serious about it. Okay? Because I'm looking at it as positive, as something that is more real to me today. This message means more to me today than it ever has in my life, because I'm seeing it made alive. I'm seeing it living in people. I'm seeing it making manifest. Why would your prophet say it like that? See, he said, a vice president. Well, I mean, we know the channels, but why didn't he say a president? A woman president. I will tell you what he went on and said, if you'll listen and read. He went on and said the woman would be the controlling factor. So it don't matter who the president is. The woman has got the controlling power. She's the one, right? She's in office. Well, we still got a little bit of time over what? February or January or something. But what are you going to do? You going to try to get in the ark? You remember what the prophet said? He said some of those people were serious people. We listened the other night to it. He said, some of those people were serious people. He said, you know what? They went up to where the ark was. Because they even said, now we know that if the door closes, Noah is a good man and he'll open the door and let us in. Now that's what your prophet said. Is that the way we are? Oh, everything's going to be all right, Brother Dale. You're a doomsday. I'm not doomsday. I'm very, very proud. You can't be a doomsday thoughts of things and be excited about it. Right? I mean, you're excited about getting your head blowed off? No, don't go that way. You don't get excited over that. You get excited when you realize there's things happening right now that has been promised for 6,000 years. We're not looking for whether Hitler would come into view or not. We're not looking where that Mussolini's or whatever would be. We're looking at what the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. She's in the White House. Huh? Okay. Now, if the woman's in command, what does it matter who the first guy is, if she's the second? You understand what I'm saying? Why would the prophet say vice president? Why didn't he go right straight president? Because you know why? That's too much. That's too hard. So the woman's going to have to ease herself in the White House. Yep, exactly. As the vice president. Right. Sure. But she's going to rule the show.
Yep. Sure.
When it's all finished, where are we going to be?
Right.
Okay. I'm just one thing that I'm thankful for all things that my Savior has shown me, that my God has over the years shown me, that I've not fallen after all of these flim-flam things that went about in the message. That's what I said. You get people, you go back there and think about it, some of your older ones. When they get up and they say, well, this can't be that woman in the White House because she's too ugly. That was more important to them then than the gospel of the fact of realizing that in just a few years you would be living those things. You would be fulfilling those things right in your life. Now I'm going to say it, but forget what I'm saying about it. I ain't saying, well, you voted it. Because some of you probably did vote for it. That's your business. That ain't nothing to me. That ain't got nothing to do with that. That's natural. That's natural points. That's. But what about voting to put in? See, that's why I quit voting when I learned this message. And who was, when did he run? Kennedy, when was the last time? 63 or something got killed, you know. Oh. But I never voted since then on a presidential election. Why? Because I read where the prophet said one of those visions thing would deal with a president coming into office by the women's votes and the things. I'm just reading it today. And since that, when I found out what they done with John F. Kennedy, I never voted since then because ain't no need of it. Come on. Some of you have lived long enough to realize that when they even, Edgar Hoover wouldn't have the ones that he tried to bring it out, but they couldn't even bring it out when you was to voting for one, you was automatically voting for the other person. And they knew it. You think I'm going to vote anymore? Like I said in that message the other day, when I began to hear the message and the prophet was talking about it, I didn't run to see about the women's run. But I began to study as much as I could to find out. And I found out that this was like 1967, give or take a little. That at that time there was 1,500 Catholics in the White House. Appointees and things like that. that a lot of them was appointed for life. See, that was what I was interested in. I was interested in seeing how the Catholics were going to get in the White House. I wasn't concerned about the woman. I was concerned about the Catholics. And I never voted no more. I ain't saying there's anything wrong with your voting, see? That's where you'll do that in your mind, and then you'll build your good case. Yeah. Well, I think I've proved my point all the way down to where I've stood for and what I've stood for and the things that I've based it on from the day one of this message here in this church until where we are now. Because you know what the message was? Going beyond man's camp. That was the first sermon I preached in this message. Was going beyond man's camp. And by the way, if you'd like to have a whole section of cassette tapes that probably you could find them, every one from 82 back, because there's about 6 boxes downstairs of cassette tapes, you're welcome to every one of them. If you don't get them, we're going to burn them because we ain't got nowhere to put them. We're going to trash them if we don't do it. If you want them, go down there and get every one of them. If you want to know what I preached in 1975, go down there and look through those boxes and you'll find it. I guess I should really take them and bundle them up and set them up somewhere just in case, but I ain't worried about it because, hey, most of you have been here long enough to know what I preached in 75. Yeah, right. See? A lot of you know what in 1974 when I said you could pass not the year 2026 and not break the prophet's word. If you want the tapes, they're downstairs. Welcome to them, because like I said, if you don't, we're going to have to take them to the trash pile. We can't leave them sitting down there. All right? Okay. Now, let's get on with the message. The next message, or the last part that I was trying to bring about the message that I've been endeavoring to bring on the beginning of the creation, I covered a little part there that I want you to go back with me and think about these things. And if you'll go to that tape, you'll find that I covered stage one and stage two to a degree and then left it because I did not have enough time at that time to get to stage three. So that's even the statement in the message there. All right. Now, covering the beginning of creation. That's what I like. I picked that. That's Brother Branham. That's very wordy. The scripture says beginning of the creation of God. But Brother Branham called it, says beginning of creation. All right. See, then Revelation 3:14 has a threefold understanding to it. The beginning of the creation of God has a threefold understanding to it. Stage one was God coming into creation himself, making himself known. All right? Stop now. I'm going to pick that up in a minute, but I want to go on. Stage two covers the coming into being of the Word that was made flesh in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, being the beginning of the creation. The body. All right. Stage three, which we didn't get to, is the new creation, which is what I read the scriptures there in Corinthians. He's a new creature. If you're a born-again believer tonight, you're a new creature. You're not an old creature made over. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All right, if I don't get to that, we'll finish it up on that part. But I want you to think about it. Because stage one Now, I tried to cover it in the message. If you'll listen, you'll see that I brought it up, but I was walking very slowly because I couldn't find the right way. And I said there a couple of times that I'm trying to find a way to present this to what did I see. But I want to start off with presenting it like this. Let's just read what your prophet says on two or three things and then make some comments. So go ahead, brothers, with number one on the... Now, I gave you these before, so don't worry too much about it. Some questions and answers on Genesis. Now, look what he says. Now, no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in the bodily form. Because God is not in body form. That's why it'll clear up the scripture where God is a spirit, and they that worship him. But he's just not a spirit like a spook floating around. He's a being. He's a person. But I want you to catch something in a minute when you get through for just a little bit of the message, and you'll see what I've been driving at. And even gaining ground on my own. No man can see God in the bodily form because God is not in body form. God is a spirit. See, all right. No man has seen the Father. That's scripture, right? No man can see the Father. The Son has to declare him. You can't see the Father because he's spirit. All right? See, he's spirit right now. Even though he's went through the forms and everything, he's still the Holy Spirit that's within your heart. Right? See, all right, no man has seen the Father. But the only begotten of the Father hath declared him. 1 John. Now, but notice now, there's nothing, there's just space. All right. Now, hold on to what we're getting here. Read that very carefully and listen. Listen to what's being said now. Well, this is a specific time that we'll get to in a second when we read it. But now notice now, there's nothing, there's just space. There's no light, there's no dark, there's no nothing. It just seems nothing. Okay? Yep. But in there is a great supernatural being, Jehovah God, who covered all space, of all places at all times. He was from everlasting. He is the beginning of creation. Now listen. There was a time that God was self-existing. Right? That's the Elohim. Right? The understanding. Self-existing. He dwelt alone. Nobody was back there with him. We wasn't back there as little bitty people as the Mormons believe, running around up in heaven with God. No, we wasn't there. If he's self-existing, then he's self-existing. Does that need interpreting? When you say self-existing, that means he was by himself. All right? But don't take him so far that you take him clean out of the story, because that's what we want to get to. All right. That's God. Can't see nothing, can't hear nothing, not a move of an atom in the air, not nothing, not no air, no nothing. But yet God was there. That was God. Now let's watch for a few minutes, and after a while, no man has seen that. Now, that's the Father. That's God the Father. All right? A self-existing. He existed alone. There was nothing with him. No light, no night, no day, no darkness, no this, no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and this, that, and the other. No. It was God dwelling alone. Brother Branham said God was lonely. I love that. He said that's what he done in the garden. He said because Adam was lonely. So he took part and made Eve. So what did God do? God was lonely. So he started a condescending down toward mankind to where that he could be understood. He didn't become another person, a second person coming into view or a third person or anything like that. He was Almighty God himself all the way from the beginning, the self-existing one. I wish I could get it together when I was listening to him today when he was saying that the people believing in evolution. He said, how come it ain't evolved anymore? You know, all right, that was a good point. But Brother Branham made a statement that was so outstanding, I thought, how in the world could that man with no education say that? He said, you say, well, that was, you know, they evoluted. He said, well, let's just take another word. He said, you got a mule. He said, now a mule, said he can't reproduce himself. Now did it click? A mule can't reproduce. Where are you going to put him in the evolution theory? You see how smart that man? Seventh grade education, standing there, making a statement. I thought, God, how could it, the stupidity of mankind to not understand that? If you got a mule, something ended. Because he can't reproduce himself. He said, now why have you people, your scientists, why hadn't you thought of that? I sat there and just, I thought, God, you could put into the mind of a little old man a scientific fact. Do you understand what I just said? A scientific fact. That the mule can't be reproduced. Well, then how could it be evolving? Who did he evolve from? And where did he evolve to go to the next stage? Oh, God. Just help us, Lord. Now look what I'm talking about then. This being that we talk about coming into being back before the foundation of the world, before there was anything, but yet it was God. All right. Go ahead to number two while we're tied these two together, because we're on stage one now. Stage one is before the foundation of the world. See, I didn't even catch that when I preached that sermon. I caught it sitting in the office a minute ago. I thought, God, how stupid I am. There's the answer. Listen. Now, if God created man in his own image and in his own likeness, what kind of a man did he create? How many times have you heard that? And what did he create? A spirit man. Why did he create a spirit man? Because God is a spirit. Father, spirit. Before the world, he was Father, spirit. He was spirit. He was already Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He didn't have to become these things. He brought them into manifestation in life. But listen. Now, if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now to the one that asked the question, you'll find this, that God gave dominion of the cattle and the fishes and everything to the man. But in his making up, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle. Now, how's he going to lead the cattle? By the Holy Spirit, not by natural leading, right? Leading the beasts of the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. Right? He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creation of God. Why did he bring it in the lower creation? Because an easier way to say the first man that was created human is the lower creation. Are you with me? Adam was a human being. But he first made him a spirit being. Because that would be the same where the Father would be. Right? But then he would come into natural. The first creation was God himself. Oh, but I don't understand that. How could God create God? God didn't create God. God is the creator of all things. He is that God.
Right. Amen. Amen.
See, this is still before the foundation of the world. You say, wait a minute, Adam, the first man in the lower creation. You put him in flesh, he's fine. But you got him in spirit first.
Right?
He's in spirit before he's in flesh. Come on. Why? Because he's in the image of God. The first creation was God himself. Whatever God was, Adam was. And we're not talking physical, right? Remember, it's before. It's what I said. I didn't catch that, to how to bring it. I knew the stages, the three stages. But remember, this stage stays totally before the foundation of the world, or before time began, or things began, etc. Then the next is a body starts coming into being. See, that's all right then. But look, the first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, still before the world, which was the Son of God, still before the world. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word for the foundation of the world, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth the man, the Creator, the Son of God. You remember that I asked the question years ago, I said, you're talking about Son of Man, but who knows when the Son of God come into being? You realize the Son of God had come into being before the world ever become into being. Because he's the one that created it. According to the Bible, it says all things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. Who? Jesus Christ, the Word. Not the flesh man. That comes stage two. We're still in stage one. Of back before the foundation of the world. Right? Adam, the first man in the lower creation of God. Spirit man. The first creation was God himself. Spirit man. Not spirit man coming into, but he began to come into being. He began to make himself manifest. That's why it calls him the new creation. Because that's what he is. Okay? Come on. Follow me now. Go ahead to number three. And notice then after a while I begin to see a little sacred light begin to form, like a little halo or something you could see, only see it by spiritual eyes to look now. While we're looking, the whole church now, we're standing on a great big banister watching what God's doing. And we'll get right down to this question here, and you'll see how that he brings it in. Now, no one has seen God. No problem. Because God's a spirit. You can't see a spirit. And now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. That's God coming into manifestation. That's the Logos, the Word, the Son of God, the all things. That's God manifesting himself in a way that you can comprehend him. We see a little white light forming. What is that? That was called by Bible readers Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing, or as I was going to say, the part of God began to develop, now listen, into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. Wonderful wording. Seventh grade education. Right? Begin to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was.
Right.
Was a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Now God gave himself birth to his Son. No problem. Which was before there was even the Adam in the, or the heir to make an Adam. That was, see, Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world.
Yep.
See, way back in yonder.
Yep.
What did he do? God gave himself birth to his Son. The Word. The Word come into being, not come into being because it was not into being, but it come into manifestation or to place to where it could be comprehended. God has been unveiling himself down through time to try to get you and me to be able to see him. As I said the other day when I was talking about it, I was glad that God didn't send a theologian to sit drinking. I'm glad of that. I'm glad he didn't send that. We'd all have problems trying to understand.
Yep. Right. That's right.
You say, we have problems trying to understand. We may do it, but we're not having problems as much as you would if you messed it up with a theologian and put him in there.
That's right.
I'm not against theologies or nothing. I'm just telling you the truth. All right? Let's see if I can keep this out. All right? Let's just keep it on one thought. No, no problems preaching. I can preach for 10 years off. That's what I said. If you want to go back there, if you want some time to listen, there's probably about 2,000 tape boxes sitting down there in the bottom. Take that and listen to see if that's what I was preaching 40 years ago. No problems. No bragging. Just telling the truth. If not, somebody come and show me where I changed it. You've got the tapes downstairs. Welcome to them. Take them and listen to them and see if there's any difference in what I was preaching then and what I'm preaching now. I ain't talking about depth now because it keeps unveiling. Just like I said, I was sitting in there a while ago and the Lord just cleared that up and brought it out. Three stages. Stage one was before the foundation of the world. God came into being. Adam, listen now, and you're going to swallow hard. Adam's spiritual man was created before the world ever begun.
Sure. Amen.
Spiritual man of Adam.
Amen.
Our spirit.
Amen. Sure.
Was brought into being before the world ever begun.
Yep. Amen.
There's your Genesis 1, 26 and 27.
Right.
There's your let us make man in our own image. And let him have dominion. It was not the natural Adam to have dominion. We don't need dominion over animals. All we need to be is just what we are. Right? What are you following me now? God gave himself birth to his son before the world ever begun. But that's not a person coming into being. That's a dividing or a multiplying of that person that was into being, that was in the beginning before the world ever begun.
Amen. That's right.
Be real careful. Just don't cross yourself on your predestination. Just keep your predestination running straight. That God by foreknowledge, foreknew, that he foreknew what you'd do. He foreknew what he was going to do. He was going to make Adam as a spiritual man. Then one day he would make Adam as a natural man. Oh, he knew that he would come into being as a spiritual being father to be the father that could not be seen nor comprehended, but he would have to condescend. And if he would, then he would condescend into the word form. And isn't it so marvelous that word form would be the Son? The Son would be the one that created all things. Come on, not the flesh man. The flesh man, the Lord Jesus, is stage two. We have to get into that and back up. But stage one, we're standing back before the foundation of the world and seeing that the Father already had brought into being in his mind what he was going to do. Now you got your predestination running correct. That he predestinates by his foreknowledge. He knew what would happen when he made this man Adam. But he made him a spiritual man first. Now let me say it this way to you. According to Blasphemous 9, Brother Branham said that Adam's soul was eternal.
Amen.
All right. Now you can read all you want to. And according to that, you can go back to God's questions and answers on Genesis, the tapes that the prophet put out on that, and listen to that. And you'll hear it all over and over and over as it comes forth into a manifestation of understanding that God before the world knew every move, every thought, every idea that you and I would ever have. And he knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to bring Adam and Eve into the garden in a physical being one day. And that they would sin. And he would have to do other things, but he never killed them. This is what I love. He said he never even cursed Adam nor Eve, either one. He cursed the serpent, the land, the things. But he never cursed Adam. Now, that's understandable, because Adam's the son of God. But he never cursed Eve. See why? Because Eve, Brother Branham said, was in God in theophany. So if Adam's soul was eternal, it was in Adam's theophany. If Adam's soul was eternal, then the soul of Eve would have to be eternal.
Amen.
Then the plan of redemption would enter the picture. Sure, that he would have to go on and create and bring into bodies and things like that. Yes. But think about back before the world. that he knew all of that was going to take place before it ever even took place, before it ever even started. God, by his own foreknowledge, he did predestinate. In other words, he had to plan and purpose before the world ever was thought of. The plan and purpose of Almighty God was brought into view even before the world was ever thought of. You agree with me? See, what a wonderful thing to think about. That would put us into the spiritual being form. And then the spiritual being of form, stage one, is right in the basis that it's before the world ever begun. That it would all come into manifestation. And if you was ever there, you'll be there. If you wasn't there, you never will be there. There what? Who? The spirit man.
Amen. That's it.
The one that he said, let us make man in our own image.
Amen.
And what kind of a man did he make, the prophet said? Said he made a spirit man.
Right.
Well, now, if he made a spirit man, you know for certain that he knew he was going to fall. He had to allow mankind to come. We'll get to that on the next stage. But he knew what he was going to do. He didn't create a son. When you talk about the Son of God, you talk about the Word, the Logos, the things, the theophanies and the things. He didn't create a son. He was that Son, just brought into manifestation. Why? Because Jesus went over, no man has seen the Father. But the Son has declared him. Right? The Son has declared him. In other words, he's brought him out in the open that we can understand him. Because we couldn't understand him in spirit being. But when it comes to the point of knowing that there was more to the story, he would make a way. He would make a way to where that he could bring man into being. Sure. See, then Adam came into being as a spirit man first. Right? He come into being as a spirit man first with eternal life. You say, wait a minute. No, come on. You're not getting it right. You're not listening to the story. You're trying to pre-run me and just figuring it out. Don't do that. Just back up and walk with us a little bit. Because you see, he had to make a man before there could be a fall. Right? And he had to make him not eternal, if he made him. Remember that. Anything you get that God makes, with our word make, our word new, our word thoughts, anything you get that makes God to the point that he's having problems, to bring into the open his plan and purpose. See, then you're trying to figure him out. Don't try to figure him out. Just accept what he says.
See?
Hey, come on, folks. Maybe you never done it, but I will remember. I can stand here today and remember back in those old Baptist days, sitting there in them pews. Now some of them preachers could preach. Pretty good. And they could preach enough till I caught on to a few things. And me and my brother, we'd get into discussions because he was a theologian. He got about 12 years of college. And we'd get into discussion. And he's shrewd. I'm talking about not just, he's shrewd. He's still smart as a tack. Yet I told him one day, I said, from now on, we're going to talk about the Word. We ain't going to talk about your ideas or your opinions or your thoughts or mine, either one. You quote a scripture, I'll quote a scripture, because if you don't, we're going to quit talking. We quit talking. Why? Because, see, he was natural. How could you ever try to explain to him that Adam was God's first creation? He'd go right to the garden and put him standing there. You can't do that. You got to put Adam in glory. Because that's where he was at. Jesus was there and said, remember the glory that we had? See, one of these days we're going to find out that there's a lot to doing more than we think. But just remember, Jesus was not created of God to where that God could come into being. He wasn't created. He was that God.
Right.
He just moved from one form to another.
That's right.
That's all that I've ever tried to explain of the Godhead. That you just take all that God was, pour it into Christ. I'm going to take all of Christ and pour him into the church. Then you'll find out what the new creation is. Then you'll find out where the prophet, when he gets over there and he said, this is a special designation of himself. He said, this is talking about his church. He gets all the way over and this tells us how beautiful the bride of Jesus Christ is. Listen, just for a minute. Do you understand then? Stage one. The beginning of the creation of God. So you read it in Revelations, that's the message to this age. So then the message to this age would be that message of the beginning of the creation of God. Or in other words, the capability would be in this age to comprehend how God could come into being and manifest himself and not change his form or what, or to be a son over here and a father here. No. He was just all of that put together in one thing. There's just one person. There's just one God. Yeah, but I don't understand, because Jesus looked like he was God. Jesus was the man that God dwelt in. The flesh man. There's a flesh man involved in this. That God would come down in human flesh. And that's why it says it. In him was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Think on it. God is not a creation. It's not somebody creating the other one. It's stepping in. See, the bride is, when we get to that, we've got to really hold it, right? Because when you get to the bride, see, you're going to find out all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ into the church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. You're going to find out that a part of you, Brother Durrett, a part of you was back there before the world. Because the prophet said, if not, then it never will be. But it wasn't back there like we want to think, like peoples and ideas and principles and things. There wasn't but one man. Let's see if we can get this right and then we'll quit. There wasn't but one man brought into being in the garden or back before time. That was the man, Christ Jesus. You say, yeah, but you got to, no. Because you're not looking at him as different people. You're looking at him as how he can unveil himself. walk in that as much as he's needed, and unveil and go into another stage. And he'd say, unless you believe that I am he. He who? The very God of creation was standing on earth in a human body. Because you see, we've got to have that him being that human body to be able to get the other stages of the journey, because we've got to get him to the basis of that to have a redeemer, a savior, a healer, or all things. Come on, musician. Think on these things. What is your thoughts? What do you think about creation? Is it, well, God just created. Did he create, or did he just step into another form? Did he create something to be there, or did he just step over to another form? Yeah. Then you can see that one that walked on the shores of Galilee was the Almighty God. No wonder they couldn't understand. But can we understand? The body comes into being as to be the healer, the savior, the things. We'll get to that. Because that's stage two of a creation. But just remember what I tried to bring about to you. When you're talking about creating, see, we think about wood, tree, growed, made wood, made a tree. We cut that down. We made done it, made paper. We made all kind of things out of this tree that used to be in the ground. But see, God made it all by his word. The only time that they were allowed to show of scene at the Passion Play, because we found out later it was copyrighted, and they only were allowed to use it one time. And in that, many of you have been to the Passion Plays and the things and know what I'm talking about, that they act out the parts, they act out the play, they do the things, you know, and all like that. And in this one thing, they would always make some form of a cloud floating around and bloom, 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 and a world coming into being. But on this one, this scene just opened up, and there stood a man. And I thought, it's a little different than what they've been doing. There stood a man. He stood there for a little bit, and then all at once he said, let there be. The world started coming into being, you know, and how they act out the parts and the things they've done. The sound and the smoke and the things and all. And he'd say, let there be, let there be. And all at once it stopped. And he stopped and he stood still. I'm talking about a man in full dress, everything, get what I'm saying. And he said, I mean, he didn't say anything, but all at once something happened, and it just like he, you know how they'd wound up making the rocks where they'd fold over each other and do the things, you know, where they could do. And he just stepped through them rocks out of the way. It closed back behind him, and a baby cried. A baby cried. They started that play with Jesus Christ as a baby. The only time that I ever seen them do it. They'd start him as a man or this, that, or the other. They started him as a baby. I sat there and cried because that was what happened. The same one that created the world. The same one who created all things. One day stepped down into human flesh as a child. Grew as a child, but I love the prophet the way he says things. He said, you're God with no teeth. You think that little old baby laying up there in that manger was the very God that had said, let there be. I thought, well, and I thought, we did. We checked into it, and we found out that they said it was copyrighted. They couldn't view it no more like that because of the way they had it copyrighted. And I thought, ever who taught that? They knew what they were talking about. Because you go from the very man that was the creator of all things, Almighty God, and the next step was a baby laying in a manger. Let's stand together. What we got, brother?
205. Sorry. Hear the cross, amen.
Don't forget this little bracelet thing up here if it belongs to any of you.
Me near the cross. There a precious fountain. Free.
See him as he's beginning to unveil himself. The little bride gets that revelation. It'll hold. It's held for 6,000 years. It'll hold. It'll hold us when we need it.
Morning star, set its feet.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
In the cross, in the
the conduct. She's the one that has done it. And the prophet said, was listening the other day where he said, somebody comes on your heart. He said, you pray. You pray. He said, because that's the Holy Spirit that's within you calling out. All right? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon our sister as a confirmation about this that you've laid on her heart, this person to pray. And we pray that you would just reach down and touch this one and bring it all the way through and everything be all right. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anybody else? The prophet said if God lays somebody on your heart, pray for him. Pray for him. Because you never know.
And wait.
Wake up in the night.
Hoping, trust.
Somebody comes on your mind. Get up right then and go pray.
That golden
could be the Holy Spirit leading you.
Just beyond the river.
Right? Anybody else that just have a need?
In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find
rest
beyond the river. Cross, O Lamb.
already on the way, and everything's done. May our sister give us a good report out of this, because we believe you. We thank you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? You take those prayer calls and believe it. We've seen a lot of mighty things take place with prayer calls. The other day, I always have them in my billfold, but I got them in my Bible. And needed some prayer calls. So I sent to Anna and them, and I looked in my billfold and my Bible, and I could only find three. Well, one of them was pretty good size. I said, it ain't the size. It's what it's all about. So I just took scissors and just cut that and made four of them, because they needed it for Anna and the kids and all. They needed those prayer cloths. So don't worry about them. If you cut one up, you're not cutting up his glory. No way. It doesn't make no difference. And don't worry about washing it. You know, people have said, well, I wash my prayer cloth. Don't worry about it. You can't wash off the anointing. Can't be done. You can wash it with all you want to. You can do everything in the book with it, but you're not going to wash off the anointing, because it's eternal. Amen? Yeah. Remember, pray one for another. Remember, wait for the services this weekend and pray that the Lord would bless and keep us all in his love. Father, we thank you. We went different from what we thought was going anyway tonight, Lord, so you just help us to understand. We're kind of stumbling around trying to find a way to say something. We pray that you just let that dwell into the hearts of the people. And let your love and grace be with each one of us. Take care of everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your love always be with us. And we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.